You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
Hour number two, Roto Experts live on television here from New York City. Alongside the King, Scott Angle, Wall Street, Matt Modica, I am Greg Sussman. Corey Parson has the day off today. We've gone over the Vikings and the Saints in depth. We'll get to their opponent, or the Vikings' opponent, I should say, a little bit later on. But I want to start with the other game on Sunday, and that was the Jacksonville Jaguars' takedown of the Pittsburgh Steelers, 45-42. 87 points were scored in this game. Crazy, crazy, crazy. But before we get into that, I have to hit you with some Blake Bortles facts. Fact! Blake Bortles has a better winning percentage in the playoffs at 100% than Tom Brady does, 73.5%. That's a fact. Fact! Tom Brady has 9 playoff losses. Blake Bortles, 0. That's a Blake Bortles fact. Blake Bortles is undefeated in Pittsburgh, 1-0, and has never lost a playoff game, 2-0. That is a Blake Bortles fact. Blake Bortles fact, RIP Patriots. There you go. Blake Bortles facts for you to open up
round number two. Yesterday, the tone was set when they went for the fourth down.
Early.
You know, they needed Big Leonard to be the man.
Yep.
And he was. He was what they needed. They needed that toughness.
Yep.
They took it to Pittsburgh. That defense, Haley and the play calling was suspect at times, in my opinion, and really cost the Steelers.
Blake Bortles has also appeared in one more conference championship game than Tony Romo and Alex Smith.
Yes. That's true. Yes. That is true. Yes. Yes. That's a Blake Bortles fact.
Yes.
Look at that. The Bortles led Jaguars surprised the heck out of Pittsburgh yesterday, 45-42. They were up 21-0, and there were times where at the 21-0, everyone's kind of screaming, you know, the game is over, the game is over. And there were times, certainly before the end of the half, where Pittsburgh's driving down 21-7. You're thinking, they get in the end zone here, they get the ball back at the end of the half, the start of the half. And it's like, all right, Pittsburgh will come back. Pittsburgh will ultimately win this game. Fine. And the Jaguars kept fighting. And they earned this game. A lot's going to be on Todd Haley, and rightfully so. Scott, he called one of the worst games I've ever seen in my life. He called the Steve Sarkisian type game.
There's a lot you can say about the Steelers also defensively.
Horrific.
You can see they really miss Ryan Shazier, both of their emotional and physical leader. Give credit to the Jaguars, because when their defense started to let up points, the offense stepped up. And it was a good game plan. It was not only Leonard Fournette running the ball, but it was also a high percentage passing. You know, coming out and throwing to tight ends when they were expecting them to throw to wide receivers or run the ball, keeping them off balance after the first drive. Give a lot of credit to Jacksonville, but at the same time, as many points as they give up, let's stop with comparing them to the all-time defenses of all time. Very good defense, but not with the Bears, you know, the Ravens, the Bucks, teams like that.
All right, fair enough. Scott pointed that out on Twitter yesterday. As good as the Jaguars won, still had a 42 points yesterday.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll get into Todd Haley's play calling and his feud with Big Ben next.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Blake Bortles facts And here's the Blake Bortles fact for you. The Jacksonville Jaguars defeat Pittsburgh 45-42, up 21-0 at one point, 28-14 at halftime. Went into the fourth quarter up just 28-21. I'll tell you now, if we would have told you that going into the fourth quarter, Jags up 28-21, I bet everyone at this table probably would have bet the Steelers would come back and be victorious in this one. And they just weren't, you know. They had chance after chance. They just needed to stop here or stop there. And they could not get it. And all the credit in the world goes to Blake Bortles. Not really. But the Jaguars, for sure. Leonard Fournette, 25 carries, 109 yards, 3 touchdowns, including leaping in from, like, the 3-yard line, which you don't really see jumps from the 3-yard line. And he got in. He was able to get in the end zone there and just kind of put the ball over the goal line. On fourth down, which was awesome. You saw many, many times Blake Bortles be able to dump it off to T.J. Yeldon to just get just enough. And that was the Jaguars' mantra, really. Just do enough. The defense did what they had to do. They did just enough. The offense did just enough. And, Matt, the Jaguars are headed to New England.
Yeah, and you mentioned T.J. Yeldon. He had a couple big plays for them.
Definitely.
He was a nice option for them there. He looked like he was going to get tackled. Kept his balance, got that first. That was a huge first down in that game. And Jacksonville kept doing just enough to win this game. And, you know, the Steelers, I'm still perplexed. I mean, I'm just. And it was interesting in that post-game press conference with Bennett. He just threw Todd Haley under the bus.
Let's mention it here very clearly what happened. So there were, I believe, 3 or 4 fourth downs that Pittsburgh had to go for that were, you know, basically, you know, fourth and ones. So the first fourth and one or fourth and two, whatever it is, it's a toss to Le'Veon Bell where you throw it 5 yards back in order to run 1 inch. And it was like literally 1 inch. And he tossed it 5 yards back. Le'Veon Bell got stuffed. I'm just like, that is such a stupid play call. Like, you have a huge quarterback. He just has to go this way, just forward. And as you heard from Scotty or Matty earlier on, it was like they don't really run that play anymore, but Ben was like, I'm willing to do it. You take the ball, you snap it, and you just push forward, and you get it. Very dumb.
The old Tom Brady play.
The old Tom Brady does it perfectly every game. So later on, they had a fourth down, and instead of throwing it, you know, short, they threw a bomb to Martavis Bryant. That worked out well. Fine. Later in the game, fourth and one. Same spot. You either just turn around and you hand it off to the best running back in the NFL, or again, you just fall forward and you get a first down. Instead, he drops back to pass and he throws across the middle to Juju Smith-Schuster, who drops it. Or he was held as pass interference, whatever. But again, a stupid play call. There's always been friction with Todd Haley and with Ben Roethlisberger and Haley and the rest of this Pittsburgh offense. But Scott, it just takes common sense. These coaches like Todd Haley overthink themselves, and they overanalyze. And when you need 1 inch, you hand it to your best player, or you just have your 250-pound quarterback just lean forward. Instead, Todd Haley coaches himself out of this game.
Yeah, we talk about overthinking in fantasy football, and it happens in real football, too. They figure, okay, the defense knows exactly what's coming. Everybody in the building knows what's coming. Let's do something different here and surprise the defense. And it really just, it doesn't always work. But you know what, though? The Steelers, in catch-up mode, you know, they put up a lot of good numbers yesterday. And I think it's another lesson about how fantasy players look at this game, even when they're looking at it for DFS or playoff-type leagues. And, oh, I hate the Browns going against the Jaguars, whatever. Superstars put up their numbers against everybody. Because a defense like that will put the Jaguars in a position to win. But it won't necessarily mean that they're going to shut out the other team the whole way. And, you know, as far as Roethlisberger goes, you know, he had 2 big turnovers that really prevented the Steelers from ever getting ahead, a fumble and an interception.
Yeah, but the one thing I'll take away from that game for fantasy purposes, I think Ben will be back. I mean, I'm speculating on this. He announced that. But for fantasy purposes, that's what you want to hear.
Yeah, of course.
You want this big three back in. Steelers, I think, have to, you know, give Le'Veon Bell what he deserves. So on a fantasy aspect, Ben and AB together are just like, you know, peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see next year between Martavis Bryant having a full preseason under him. He had that 42-yard catch and run. Yeah. That was lacking from Martavis Bryant this year, maybe because he wasn't up to be game condition. I think it's going to be dicey on a week-to-week basis to know between him and Juju Smith-Schuster who's going to be the guy. So both of them are going to be drafted on that wide receiver 3/4 cusp, I think.
Antonio Brown was not 100% yesterday. He didn't have the explosion we're used to, and he still had an unbelievable game. Brown, 7 for 132 and 2, and 2 just fantastic touchdowns yesterday.
Yeah, the first one was a perfect pass by Roethlisberger where Brown didn't even get his usual separation, and it was the first touchdown pass that A.J. Boye has given up all year.
Mm-hmm. You know what was crazy about that? I think it was the first one where he forced it into A.B. against A.J. Boye, and like Jesse James down the middle of the field, there was no one within 10 yards of him.
That was but crazy. He still went to Brown.
That's what I'm saying.
It's just fun to watch. It's fun to watch him play football. He is, you know, he's just a treat. He really is. And having been there and you know, just watching the Steelers play, whether it's fantasy or real life football, it's just fun. I hope Ben comes back and we get to see it one more time.
Yeah, and I think we will. Pittsburgh will be back. But it was a very bad game, as Scott mentioned, by the defense as well. That's all Mike Tomlin. Tomlin did not do a good job in this game. Todd Haley did not do a good job in this game. Keith Butler did not do a good job in this game. The coaching staff of Pittsburgh needs to reevaluate themselves.
Yeah, well, Tomlin's not going anywhere. So, this team hasn't been to a Super Bowl in a few years now. So, yeah, maybe they have to examine what they're doing with the coaching staff here. I don't know if anything changes, though, because they always feel like they can get to a certain level. Before the game, though, it was so funny because the Jaguars' social media account trolled the Steelers afterwards, Mike Mitchell, because there was so much talk about whether they're going to beat Pittsburgh. And even the broadcasters, beat New England, even the broadcasters were talking about how this Steeler team was looking ahead to New England, and Mike Mitchell was already talking about, we're going to beat them next week. And the Jaguars social media account embedded the tweet and said, well, you can play the Patriots all year now on Madden, during the whole offseason.
Yes, you can.
They're looking ahead.
They did give them a lot of, even Le'Veon Bell with that tweet. There's no need to do that, And Jacksonville went to Pittsburgh in, week 5 or so. Got the job done, so they had confidence in that aspect. And that defense alone has to give you confidence. And as Scott mentioned, Ryan Shazier has been a huge... We've seen the defense struggle against that run ever since he's been out, so...
You're absolutely right. That ultimately, it comes from overlooking. I completely agree with that. Everybody expected Pittsburgh, New England. The Steelers were ready for another shot at New England after Jesse James' overturn. And it just is not going to happen. And you look past a team that beat you down in week 5. And I know week 5 doesn't mean anything, but they beat the crap out of you in week 5. And you just did not show up in this one. They did not show up. The offense was there.
The coaching staff didn't show up.
The coaching staff. They overlooked it. It was pathetic.
I don't know if overlooked or looked past was the word.
Okay.
Because then you're assuming you're in the next game. What they had was there was reported like Tomlin came out and like was more confident than ever. They already assumed that they were going to get revenge for that previous game. What are they looking past them? Like they said they had their mind set on pounding the Jacksonville Jaguars, and the Jaguars stood right up to them the first punch and said, no, that's not happening.
I got a question here. Would you have kicked that ball off, or would you have gone with the
I would have kicked the ball off for sure.
Yeah, the funny argument was when they were like, the Pittsburgh's a bad onside kick team, and Deion Sanders said it best. If you're a good onside kick team, you're usually getting your butt kicked.
Yeah, I mean, Chris Boswell's never obviously got an onside kick. It's been 10 years or 11 years now since the Steelers recovered an onside kick. There's 2:19 left. You have two timeouts. Ultimately, exactly what you were in the position you needed to be in for Pittsburgh. You got them in a 3-and-out. They kicked the field goal because you had the onside kick. It was so silly to me because you call two timeouts. You get the ball back with 2 minutes to go. Like, what are you doing? Horrible job.
You know what, though? Something else to think about, though. Is your defense going to get a stop?
They did. They did get a stop.
Yeah, but how much confidence did you have in getting them to the
stop? But wait a minute. You had to get a stop no matter what. If you don't get the onside kick, like, you had to get a stop. You know what I mean? Like, so they get the onside kick, they don't recover it, they don't get the stop. So right. what do you think is a better chance of? The defense getting a stop or recovering an onside kick?
Defense getting a stop. Of course. Still not too good.
But it's not even close. It was a brutal, disgustingly stupid job by Mike Tomlin there. Horrible. And they deserve to lose. Jaguars versus New England should be fun. What's up? How do I feel? Speaking of New England, let's talk about them when we come back. It's the Roto Experts Fantasy Sports Radio.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Back with you here on Roto Experts Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We just talked about Jacksonville and how they will go into New England, but the reason they're going to New England is because the Patriots were able to defeat the Tennessee Titans, not Jacksonville yet, the Tennessee Titans here in New England on Saturday night, 35-14, of the worst of the four playoff games. Tennessee was actually up 7-0 in this one, and then there were 35 straight points scored by New England in this one, 35-14. Brady throws the ball 53 times in this one, 337 yards passing, three touchdowns here for New England. And Scotty, they realized, Josh McDaniels did in the game plan, that if they were going to win, it wasn't going to be running the football, because Tennessee's very good against the run. It was going to be passing. And that's why you saw Brady throw it 53 times.
Yeah, they've been vulnerable to the tight end all year long. They really had no answer for Gronkowski. And, you know, Danny Amendola showed up in that old Edelman Welker sort of role there. It was a unique game plan, too, because, you know, Brandon Cooks is... he's kind of evolved into a role player. Sometimes these speed guys evolve into role players and just not been as big of a presence. But, you know, Brady's credit, spreading the ball around, you know, getting the running backs involved, et cetera. And, you know, you talked about how Tennessee opens the game. Sometimes, you know, an inferior team will just, they'll be well prepared for that first drive and they'll score early in the game, and then they can't sustain any momentum over that.
James White returned for the playoffs, and yep. James White did James White things in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Two touchdowns. Chris Hogan, who was the practice player of the week previously, he got a touchdown, only one catch, but, you know, he made it count. Deion Lewis, to me, next year, if given the opportunity, it's going to be a hell of a value. He had a great season when placed as the, I don't want to say bell cow, but, you know, the lead back in this situation. I mean, it's supported on many different levels. I don't know if it'll ever happen with the Patriots where they do go, but I think there is a chance for that. And this game was never in doubt, even when Tennessee was up 7-0. How they didn't go for it when they had on that fourth down around midfield, when you know you got to score touchdowns against this team, shame on them.
And big thing for Deion Lewis this year, he finally stayed healthy.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. Deion Lewis, who started the season, remember, fourth on the depth chart for New England, wound up being their bell cow for most of the year. Lewis finishes with 15 carries, 62 yards on the ground, also chipped in 9 receptions for 79 yards in the air on 10 targets. Deion Lewis was dominant in all facets of the game. As you said, James White scored a touchdown, kind of doing what he does in the playoffs, touchdown through the air and on the ground. Next week, Ian Rappaport already reported this morning that Rex Burkhead is expected to return to the lineup for New England next week, so they'll have a full complement of running running backs back next week.
I think the Jags are like plus 1,800 to win the Super Bowl. I mean, throw a little money on that.
Probably should sprinkle, right?
Take a shot. I mean, look, they have a defense. They have a defense that could beat the Patriots.
Listen.
I believe that.
And the way to beat the Patriots, as we have known for years, is to put pressure on Tom Brady. If anybody's going to put pressure on Tom Brady, it theoretically should be Jacksonville.
Yeah, very good defensive line. That will be about knocking him off his spot. But the other thing is that Minnesota has a very good defense and I think a better quarterback. So if I still think the Patriots are going to win
quarterback.
It. Yeah, well, I still think the Patriots are going to win it. But, you know, Pittsburgh didn't
have a limb there.
Look, if the Steelers had a better quarterback, but Minnesota's a more balanced overall team.
Oh, no, I'm just saying, with those odds, I think Jacksonville has a shot, at least.
I agree. 1,800 it's large. I think it's definitely worth sprinkling. We saw the return of Brandon Bolden to fantasy relevance, as why wouldn't we, right? 4 carries, 27 yards, and of course, a touchdown for Brandon Bolden. Gronk, 6 for 81 in a touchdown, and Danny Amendola, he had 11 for 112, while it was Chris Hogan catching the touchdown, his only catch of the day in the red zone. They used Danny Amendola to beat you.
Yeah, they did, because the Titans were very focused on Gronk, and to a lesser degree, the running backs. Yeah, you know, this guy, like I said, he came back and played that old underneath role. You know, Amendola, you can't totally overlook him because he has showed up in the postseason for the Patriots before.
And your boy, Chris Raven, put on a stat about Gronk entering the game. He had a chance with the touchdown, which he did get. Six straight games with a touchdown.
Correct.
Joining Lynn Swan and David Givens, of all people.
David Givens, how about that? Former Patriot right there. And Seahawk, right? Or no, Deion Branch is a Seahawk. Givens is the Titan. Speaking of the Titans and wide receivers.
Did Givens play like a small cup of coffee with the Rams, I think?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Sure. So, the other side of it. Let's get a Corey Davis here for a moment. Because Corey Davis, you saw the flashes that made Matt Modica drool on Saturday night. He's sitting there drinking, you know, drinking his beverage, and it's like, Corey Davis, 2 touchdowns on Saturday night. And the funny thing is, I was with watching the game with some friends, and the game was over. Except it wasn't over. And we're watching it, and it's like 4th down for the Titans. Pass down the left sideline, boom, Corey Davis, and there's life, and they get into the red zone, and they throw it again, and Corey Davis comes down with a touchdown. We lose our minds in that room, and we're like, wait a minute, are they going to kick the extra point? Are they going to go for 2? Like, what are they going to do? We see Succop come out, the point goes through, and we go nuts!
Yeah, no, that was, you know, I used to always love, one of the things about listening to Al Michaels do football games was how towards that end of the game,
he'll let you know it's over.
Yeah, that and the other key thing we forgot about in the
Vikings
Saints Vikings game, it was 4.5.
Yep.
It went to 5.
Yep,
and then yesterday even went to 5.5.
Yep.
So, you know, not getting that extra point was huge, and there was a guy that put a bet on the Saints money line, 150 to win 300,000.
And I think it's very clear. Day, I think it's very clear. 1,000.
Yeah, that guy's day is that had to be horrific. I don't know what I would do with myself. You know, you're thinking at that point you got 300 grand.
You of course you do. You have to think you have 300 grand, and instead you lost
150.
You have nothing. You've lost. In fact, indeed.
With Corey Davis, though, it's like, you know, now it was, if nothing else, the one positive we have is you have fantasy sneak preview of what we could expect next year. For you just look at that first touchdown catch, incredible body control, incredible athleticism, good hands, good football IQ to make sure you pull it in to have the catch. Corey Davis didn't have a training camp. He had injured. And for him to pull that off in the most important game of the season for them shows you that just a ton of fantasy potential for this guy.
Yeah, I'm kind of pissed because this is, you know, maybe he would have been a little off the radar. Still, you know, people that pay attention would have been going after him, but that just, you know, kept him there, kept him. And look, he, like Scott said, he was injured consistently, which is no bueno, as I like to say. But Mariota didn't go to him enough when he was healthy.
Yeah, and Marcus Mariota obviously regressed in a major way here in year three, and a lot of blame, and rightfully so in my opinion, has gone to Mike Mularkey and Terry Rubisky for their inability to develop
Mularkey
this guy.
Should be fired.
Mike Mularkey, instead of being fired, wins in Kansas City, and now it looks like he's going to be offered a contract extension with the Titans.
And that will set the franchise back. And he even said yesterday, they were talking about Rubisky being let go, but he said, I don't see a reason for anybody to lose their job, and sometimes it's better maybe to lose than win.
Yeah, it was. I agree. That would have helped this team because the rumor was Josh McDaniels wanted to go there, and you know who ultimately knows. But it was a bad performance. He's like blaming non-pass interference call against Eric Decker. I'm like, whatever. Like, this is what we're going to blame
him. Maybe
you
should have went for it when it was fourth and short. And the
right.
Game
that packed, was ridiculous.
And you know you got to get touchdowns. You got to move.
That
the
was ridiculous. You're over midfield. It's fourth and two. Let's punt it away.
Your secondary had no chance against the Patriots offense. You had it.
I always give credit to teams that are more advantageous, that understand the
game. Look at Jacksonville yesterday. Yeah. When you go on the road, you got to score touchdowns. Field goals are not going to win games. You got to be aggressive.
They didn't even go for a field goal, Matt. They punted the ball away.
Yeah, but, you know, you got to be aggressive. You have to go for the fourth down. And that's, you know, that set the tone in yesterday's game at Pittsburgh, 80,000 strong, terrible towels everywhere. They went for the fourth down. Big Leonard went airborne, got in there. Tennessee's punting when you have to go for it. I mean, I think that's something hopefully we'll see possibly change a trend in the NFL, and hopefully we get some new minds in there instead of recycling this.
This is pointed out in Monday Morning Quarterback, a couple of things. Number one, Tony Romo said this, evidently, that he called out the coaching staff and Mariota basically saying he needs to be played better, and the Titans' play calling just has to be more aggressive. It can't be this conservative BX. This isn't Nick Foles. This is Marcus Mariota, the former number two overall pick that's supposed to be your franchise.
Yeah, there's a lot of talent there, and it's going to be interesting to see where Derrick Henry goes in drafts next year. You know, you're going to have another year of Corey Davis. They have some other young receivers that can step up. Will they have Delanie Walker for another year? Yeah, it might be possible, but, you know, this team has too much talent. And if they can start bolster things in the secondary, if they just go this far again next year, they're underachieving.
I believe at one point yesterday, Leonard Fournette, going another stat from Monday Morning Quarterback, Leonard Fournette had more touchdowns at Heinz Field this year than Le'Veon Bell.
Yep.
That's crazy.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
But Le'Veon Bell, to me, is the best player in the NFL.
He is the best player in the NFL.
There are some teams that just they match up well against others, and yeah. Jacksonville matches up terrific with Pittsburgh.
He threw that pick, but that ball was tipped, and it was a hell of a play by Miles Jack. That was a hell of a play.
Oh, yeah, stay in bounds.
Get control and stay in bounds.
Definitely.
That's great coaching right there because you're coaching your guys up on the fundamentals.
You're right, absolutely. Okay, take a break. One more game to talk about here. The Falcons and the Eagles. And we do it next on Roto Experts.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
If you're thinking of giving DFS a try, why don't you check out Fantasy Factor? It's a perfect casual recreational site for the perfect daily fantasy player. Flatter prize pool, smaller field, single entry contests only. Fantasy Factor runs NBA and NHL free rolls each and every week. They're free to enter. So sign up today at www.fantasyfactor.com. One last game to get into, that's the Atlanta Falcons falling to the Philadelphia Eagles on Saturday afternoon.
Fly, Eagles, fly.
Don't screw up, Foles. Don't screw up. And he didn't.
But in all honesty, I thought the Eagles would win all last
week. You did. You said it.
They were home. They have a defense. They can run the ball. And the Falcons, just that offense has never truly clicked. I know they've gotten yards and stuff like that, and it's not like they're a terrible offense. It just never seemed to hit. They got the big win against the Rams. They asked them to go on the road again. I thought it was a really trying task. And, hey, there was a shot there. Julio mistimed that jump, but I don't think he comes down in bounds anyway. But all credit to Eagles there.
Yeah, fantasy players well know that story about how that game ended, not being able to get the ball to Julio in the end zone. And, you know, Matt Ryan doesn't throw a lot of 50-50 balls. He did throw one or two on Saturday, which is kind of out of character for him. Tevin Coleman had a good game. Devonta Freeman did not. You saw Tevin Coleman run very well on the outside. I think the Saints are going to see that film. I thought the Saints, if they got to play him, would get to see that film, and Kamara would be great in the next round. So maybe that bodes well for Jerick McKinnon to do something here, because you saw they were kind of vulnerable more to the run outside than they were inside. But the Atlanta could just not get any continuity going on offense, which is it's kind of what an underrated defense and a very good defensive front. And to his credit, Jalen Mills has been getting roasted all year, but did a pretty good job on Saturday.
What do you guys think of Sarkisian? Does he suck?
Yes.
The offense is not better than it was last year.
How do you do
year?
A rollout? You went to Julio. I'm fine with that.
I'm not even there yet. I want to pause before we get there, okay? So, Devontae Freeman, you call him out, and rightfully so, Scotty. He clearly battled. He said after the game, he was battling an MCL and a PCL injury for the last month or so of the season. Didn't hurt him in the last couple of weeks. Certainly hurt him yesterday.
Yeah, he had some good games during the stretch.
Absolutely. Yeah. Tevin Coleman looked lightning quick yesterday, so much better than him, and Coleman was in for most of that game. Here's all you need to know. 10 carries for 7 yards for Devontae Freeman, 10 carries, 79 yards for Tevin Coleman. That's really all you need to know.
Look, that's the way the Atlanta backfield goes sometimes, where sometimes Freeman will look good and Coleman won't.
Of course.
It's any given running back on any day. I think just the style of Coleman, you know, challenge that defense more.
Oh, I 100% agree. Yeah, I'm totally with you with that.
You want to take that team to, like, you want to take the edge away from them. You don't want to let them set the edge, and an outside runner can do well against that team. I don't think Latavius Murray has much of a good game against them this week.
Julio was fantastic yesterday, Saturday rather. He had 9 for 101 on 16 targets. This is all we ever asked for Julio Jones. 16 targets when the next highest player has 5, right? You tell any fantasy player that, they will be ecstatic. 9 for 101, that's great. Okay, let's get to the last drive. So they drive all the way down there successfully. They do what they have to do. They get inside the 10-yard line. 4 downs, under 2 minutes to go. Time is no longer an issue. You're exactly where you need to be. You want to waste time. Philadelphia is calling timeouts now. This is the point that you got up to. First down. Matt Ryan sees one-on-one with Julio on the left side. It might have been Ronald Darby. I'm not sure. He sees one-on-one. He throws the ball up to him. Incomplete. Okay. You saw one-on-one with Julio. You took a shot. I don't think any of us had a problem with that play call. Second down. I'm shocked they didn't give... Personally, in my opinion, I'm shocked they didn't give Tevin Coleman a chance here. Because he was, as you said, running extremely, extremely well. They don't give him a single opportunity at all with the ball. Not one. So I thought that was extremely, extremely surprising. As you continue on, here we go. I wanted to read you exactly what it was. So you have the first down. Julio Jones. On second down, they do the idiotic shovel pass to Teron Ward. I wanted them to hand it off to Tevin Coleman, a guy that had 79 yards rushing on 10 carries. Hand it off to a guy that's been getting it done all game. Instead, they fake it to Tevin Coleman and try to do that Andy Reid shovel pass against an Andy Reid disciple in the Eagles. To Teron Ward with a game on the line. What the hell does that accomplish, Scott?
Yeah, the Eagles were crushing the pocket anyway. It's like, I was actually thinking play fake to Coleman. This is great. Throw him a flare pass out of the backfield and see if he can take it to the end zone.
Right.
And then I was kind of baffled, but the pocket got crushed kind of quick. They were like, I don't even know if Ryan could make the right decision there.
Yeah, Ward should have
I give the Eagles a lot of credit for the pressure on that play.
Ward should have never gotten that ball. When you have Coleman and you have Freeman.
Why is he in the game? That's
overthinking. We're talking about coaches overthinking. Oh, the defense is never going to expect us to pitch the ball to Ron Ward. So let's put him in the game.
That was so stupid. Your season's on the line. Let's do an inside shovel pass to Teron Ward.
This is why the Patriots win all these Super Bowls. Can you recall the Patriots thing where they overthought it and just, you know, when they lost those two Super Bowls to the Giants, they didn't execute. That's right. What it is. They're not worried about not doing the predictable three. You know what? We're at the three. We're going forward to Gronk. You know, stop it if you can.
Sure. Exactly. That's what I said when it came to the Steelers. Listen, it's 4th-and-1. If I hand it off to Le'Veon Bell up the gut and you stop that, you deserve it. Congratulations. And the same went for the Falcons here. On you stop Julio Jones, you deserve it. You stop Devontae Freeman at the one, you deserve it. We'll get to this in a moment. Fine. That's a stupid-ass second down play. Third down play. Matt Ryan, under a lot of pressure here, passes it to Julio Jones, short of the goal line. He tried to give Julio an opportunity to run. Julio gets taken down at the 2-yard line. Play is ultimately reviewed. Play stands. Fine. It is now 4th-and-goal from the Philadelphia 2. We've seen many a plays here from the Falcons in this scenario. Devontae Freeman running it up the gut has been a lot of successful for them. Not very much successful for them. We saw Tevin Coleman, how much success he had yesterday. Certainly Julio Jones or whatnot, whatever. 4th-and-2, you line up in shotgun, which I didn't like at all. But you line up in shotgun. And Philadelphia sees this play. And Rodney McLeod says this. It was surprising. I was like, there's no way they're going to run this play. And as soon as I saw the tight end come over, I shouted the play out. Philadelphia knew exactly what was coming. McLeod says, quote, yeah, I wouldn't expect them to cut off half the field like that. You had Matt Ryan, who is not known for his mobility, scramble out to his right field. Nobody is open. Matt Ryan buys legitimately as much time as he can and just throws up a 50-50 ball to Julio, which ultimately, listen, Julio missed time to jump. The ball goes right through his hand, and Matt Ryan put a perfect throw on the ball. But to cut off half the field, overthinking, Scott.
Yeah, you're overthinking. Rolling him out, you know, just not letting him sit in the pocket. Shotgun I'm okay with because you want to stave off the rush a little bit for another second or two if you can. But look, it was just a wrong play call, and then Julio fell down on top of it. It just, you know, it wasn't meant to be. And maybe if this team, like, was getting the ball to Julio more consistently throughout the regular season near the red zone, they would have been more comfortable in executing this, too.
It was just a terrible call. You just can't do it. I mean, I don't know. I don't think. I know everybody loves Steve Sarkisian. Like
who's everybody?
No, I'm saying, like, coming in, he keeps getting jobs. He keeps getting these high profile jobs.
Right.
So people gotta like him. You know, you don't get these jobs by accident. But I just sit there wondering what the hell. I think you're better off like trying to do.
You're better handing it off to Devontae Freeman is what it is. You were better handing the ball off to Devontae Freeman and seeing if he could jump in.
That's what I was just about to say. Thank you. I agree with that 100%.
Like, you're at the 2-yard. We saw Leonard Fournette jump in from the 2. Devontae Freeman or Tevin Coleman, whoever, you have a better chance of him just jumping in.
It's really hard to run at that against that defensive front.
It is, definitely.
You know, from
definitely.
That far out. But, you know, look, there's other targets. Like, you talk about cutting off half the field. You know, you could add Sanu. You could add even Tololio. You could have had Freeman run out and do a route. Just like I said, this team, you know, when they get near the red zone, they seem to, or near the stripe, they seem to forget about Julio, and they come a little bit discombobulated.
Yeah, I completely agree. Again, at least they got the ball to Julio. It was a good throw. Julio missed time to jump. And that was it. And that was the game.
But they didn't give himself a chance.
No.
You're right. They just really didn't. They got it through. Even if Julio times the jump right, he probably comes out of bounds.
Yeah, so you saw his feet actually did land out of bounds, even though he missed it, and he probably does. But you don't give yourself a chance. You cut off half the field. What are you doing? What are you doing? That's the best play call. Season on the line, fourth down at the goal line. This means this is your best play. And that's what you come up with?
You know what, though? And it's, although it usually comes down to that, when you only score 10 points, yeah, you're not going to win the game, so it was a lot bigger than that.
Yeah, no, you're but right. They were in a position to win that. And for me, I got a question that if I'm Arthur Blank, like, what the hell? We had a chance to get back to the NFC Championship game and possibly to the Super Bowl after that horrific meltdown we had last year and maybe make things right. So, I mean, I don't know. I'd have a lot of questions.
Philadelphia on the leg of Jake Elliott. They get to the NFC Championship game. They'll face the Vikings. Jay Ajayi, who fumbled a lot early, as the Nick Foles, and it was bad early. But Philadelphia survives, and they are at home against Minnesota. We're going to come back, talk about the other side of the Garrett Cole trade, and get back into football in hour number three in a little bit.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Back with you, Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Roto Experts. Again, I want to remind you that Blake Bortles, fact, baby. Tom Brady, 9 playoff losses. Bortles, 0. We'll get into more of that, of course, next hour. But as we're back here on Roto Experts, I want to talk about the other side of that big Garrett Cole trade. Remember, the trade was Garrett Cole traded away for Colin Moran, Michael Feliz, Joe Musgrove, and another prospect for the Houston Astros. Both these guys earlier this morning said, listen, let's wait it out. Let's see what kind of trade this is. We talked a lot about it from the Garrett Cole side. Let's talk about it from the Pittsburgh side. It sounded like, Scotty, that Pittsburgh was choosing between quality and quantity in the Yankees offer versus the Astros offer. They got 4 very controllable players they're going to have, you know, for the next 5 years or so, while the Yankees were offering potentially better prospects and prospects that might have been closer to helping you, but not under the same amount of control, potentially.
Yeah, and, you know, they ended up with some quantity here. But, you know, Musgrove, last year, like, he had this reputation for really being this, you know, pinpoint sort of specialist, and it just didn't happen for him, especially as a starter. You know, I know you know well about him because you owned him and talked a lot about him on the BFS. But then when they moved him to the bullpen, he pitched a lot better. As far as Moran goes, look, David Freese is not the future. They had their problems with Jung Ho Bong. You know, so this is a guy that they bring in that can hit for average, can hit from some power, and maybe immediately take over at third base here. Had a facial fracture incident in the minors, which kind of, you know, ruined his season to a degree, but still put up good numbers. And since we have Blake Bortles facts, we'll have some Colin Moran facts. He is the nephew of former major leaguer B.J. Surhoff.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Colin Moran's actually bounced around the big leagues, or the minor leagues, I should say. I believe this is now his third organization, despite being a former first-round pick.
Number 6 overall, yeah.
So there's definitely potential there, and we'll see if they can get the most out of him. What I'm excited about, and to nobody's surprise, is Joe Musgrove, right, with Ray Searidge, that he wasn't able to be nearly as good as a lot of us thought he would be in 2017. Did have success in the bullpen, including the World Series, but with Ray Searidge, anything's possible. And
we've seen that so many times. Like, you know, Ray Searidge is regarded as this pitching guru. And look, you're going to need somebody to replace Cole in a rotation, and Musgrove still has potentially had a bad year, but, you know, with the right retooling, and that could certainly happen under Searidge, you know, this guy can have, certainly have, you know, maybe a turnaround year.
Will you take him in fantasy baseball? Will you draft Joe Musgrove?
I think with a later pick, it's certainly worth a flyer. You know,
thank knowing you,
Scott. That, knowing that who he goes with, you know, with the whole Searidge scene and everything like that. Yeah, you know, it's like you talk about in fantasy football. He's last year's garbage when it comes to starting pitching, but there's still a lot of potential there.
Yeah, I'm glad you've smartened up, and we'll take Joe. Big Joe.
Smartened up.
Yes.
I wasn't against him last year. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, you know, so everyone else jumped off the bandwagon besides Frank and I. And Mike, and I wanted to make sure you're still on the bandwagon with Joe.
With Musgrove, I was never high on the bandwagon or low off the bandwagon. You know, I thought there was a lot of potential there, but, you know, he wasn't high on my radar as you guys, but I think he can rebound.
Yeah. I appreciate that. Michael Flea is the other piece. We'll see what he could become for Pittsburgh. He could certainly become a setup guy for Felipe Rivero. This trade also means for Pittsburgh, as Matt was kind of telling us off the air, that it thinks Andrew McCutchen probably the next shooter drop. No reason to hold on to anything now. You trade away your presumed ace. Now you're going to rely certainly on Jameson Taillon as probably your ace, Tyler Glasnow. We'll see what he can do. And, you know, the Pirates have to retool because they're not good enough now.
Still have a lot of good young pitching there.
We'll see. We'll see what it comes into. 2 hours down, one more to go. When you get back in the playoff games, as well as some of the other major headlines around the NFL. So stick around. 2 hours down, as I said, one more to go. It's Roto Experts, Fantasy Sports Radio Network.